We want to welcome you to Cole Harbor Woodside this morning for the service. I'm not Michael, so this morning your worship is going to be led by the worship committee, and hopefully you'll go gentle with us. We'll start with the acknowledgement of place. For thousands of years, First Nations people have walked on this land. Their relationship with the land is at the center of their lives and spirituality. Through mutuality of the Peace and Friendship Treaty, we gather on the traditional territory of the Mi'kmaq people, and we acknowledge that their place on their land is protected throughout the ages.
We light our first candle, the Christ candle, to remind us that Christ is in our midst as we worship. In Christ, the differences that we see melt away, and in Christ, we are all one. We light our second candle and pray for peace. Peace in our world, peace in our nation, peace in our homes, and peace between all the peoples of God's world. We light our third candle and hold in prayer those who actively work for peace and safety. We thank those in our armed forces, our first responders, those who work in emergency rooms and hospitals. May they care for us and inspire us to care for all.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up our hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
Thank you. We'll now have our opening prayer. We journey and travel in a world that does not treat everyone as equal or as a friend. Our world does not always respect, care for, and value each of us in the same way. Open our ears, our minds, our hearts, O God, to see each person as a neighbor, as a person made in your divine image and loved by you. We will pray for and work toward a new world. Your shalom. Amen. Turn to your more voices, number 12. Come to our hearts. Or it's on the screen.
Thank you. Our responsive reading today is Psalm 147, Voices United, page 869. We're reading part one, and the words will be on the screen. How good it is to sing praises to God. You are building Jerusalem, O God, and gathering the scattered exiles of Israel. You count the number of the stars and call them by their names. You raise up the lowly. Sing to God in thanksgiving. Make music on the harp to our God. You give the cattle their food and the young ravens when they cry. But your delight is in those who revere you. And our first scripture lesson this morning is from Isaiah chapter 40, reading verses 21 to 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sets above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in. Who brings pieces to naught, princes to naught, and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth. When he blows upon them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see, who created these? He who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name, because he is great in strength, mighty to power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
With the children...
Perfect. Are all the children coming up? Perfect. So I wanted to talk to all you guys today about being a good friend and a good neighbor. Can you guys tell me what that means, to be a good friend or a good neighbor? Yeah?
Being nice to other people.
Being nice to other people, yes. Yeah?
Being nice to friends.
Being nice to friends. Yes, Sophie?
Being kind.
Being kind, yes.
Yes.
Did you forget?
No, that's okay.
Oh, yeah.
Being respectful.
Oh, being respectful, that's a really good one. Perfect. Those are all very good answers. Did you remember yours? No, that's okay. So the Bible tells us to love our neighbor, but that is kind of the big question, is who is our neighbor? So... is that a person who lives down the street from us, or is it people in our school or beside us? Yeah? Exactly. Yes. Yes, Ashley?
Sometimes neighbors don't even just mean they live near you. Sometimes it just means you're close to them.
So I was going to tell the story about to get to it, but yes. So Jesus actually tells a story about this big question, and the big people are going to hear about it a little later on. But to kind of give the sum-up story of what it is, so there's a man walking down the street, and he gets attacked by some robbers, and they hurt him. They hurt him pretty badly, and he's laying on the street, and he's hurt. And these people keep walking by, and nobody helps him. Can you believe that?
That's just sweet.
I know. So then this fellow walks by, and he's a Samaritan. And now I'll tell you something. They weren't always treated the nicest, the Samaritans. But he stopped, and he helped the hurt man, and he showed kindness and compassion. And that is what it means to be a neighbor. It's to show compassion and mercy and helping others when they need help.
And to be nice.
And to be nice, exactly. Yes.
Sometimes you might know your neighbors.
That's right. It's actually very helpful if you know your neighbors.
Yeah, because not even people, I consider them.
Yeah, perfect, yes.
Sometimes neighbors can go away.
Sometimes neighbors do go away and they move to different areas, right?
Sometimes neighbors go away on airplanes.
They do go away on airplanes, you're right. Yes, I am your neighbor. So I did have and it's a bit of a newer story, but it still gets the point across, and it's actually kind of relevant, because in February, we have something in Nova Scotia called Heritage Day.
Oh, I know Heritage.
You do?
I know Heritage Month.
Excellent. This is great. So each February, we learn about a different person who's done some really great things, and this month, can anyone tell me who we're going to learn about this month? Yes. You're very close. It is a lady. Her name is Mona Parsons.
I know of Sunday Parsons.
You were very close. So her story actually kind of ties in really well with what we're talking about today. So I want to give you a bit of background on Mona. So she was from Nova Scotia, but she didn't always live in Nova Scotia for her whole life. When she got married, she actually moved to another country called the Have you guys heard of it?
No.
No. Sometimes, yeah. You've heard of it? Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
So they were living there, and everything was fine, but then something happened. World War II, a war happened. And I don't know if you guys have probably learned a little bit about it in school, but again, to give you the sum-up version of it, as there was a group of people called Nazis. And you've heard of them? Yeah. So they were doing some pretty terrible things, and they weren't treating people very nicely. They were hurting people and moving them away, and it was a really letting them talk to each other. They were doing a lot. My microphone is still working. There was a group of countries, and Canada was one of them, that didn't like what they were seeing, so they were fighting against the Nazis, and they were called the But Mona and her husband weren't soldiers, but they still wanted to help. So the way they decided to help was that they opened up their house to help pilots from the Allied countries. If they got stuck and they needed somewhere to be safe, they could go to their house. But Mona and her husband got caught and they got sent to jail, which was horrible. So when Mona was in jail, she obviously didn't like being there because it was jail. She did get sent to jail, and she was there for about 4 years. But she always decided that she wanted to escape, and one day she actually managed to escape from jail. Because get this, their jail was hit by a bomb. So her and some other ladies escaped from this jail, and they walked and walked because they had to get to safety. And she walked for 125 kilometers. So that would be like from walking from here to like Lunenburg. But imagine, you had to be hiding, you had to be careful. So it took her about 3 weeks. And by the time she finally got to where she needed to go, she was tired and she was sick and her feet were hurt. And she ran into a farmer and she said, "Can you please help me? I'm Canadian and I need to get to safety." And he helped her. He actually brought her to some Canadian soldiers, and they were actually from Nova Scotia too, which is just a funny, interesting fact. And so she made it safely, and she actually was reunited with her husband after the war as well. So these stories, what they're meant to show you is different ways to be a good neighbor. So we saw the Samaritan was a good neighbor. We saw that Mona was a good neighbor in helping those pilots. We saw the farmer was a good neighbor in helping this lady he just happened to meet on the road. And they were friendly, yeah. Being a good neighbor and being a friend kind of goes hand in hand. So, but you guys already knew the answer to the question before I even started. My question was going to be, what makes a good neighbor? And you guys already figured it out. Being a neighbor doesn't mean it's somebody who lives next to you or on your street. It's the people that you see and meet every day. Those are your neighbors. And it's really important to show them love and kindness whenever you can. So, how about we do a quick little prayer before we sing and you guys head off to Sunday school?
Yeah.
All right. You guys ready? Dear God,
help us to be a good neighbor,
even when it's not the easiest thing to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to sing Come In, Come In and Sit Down, Voices United, number 395. You don't sing?
The second reading is from Luke chapter 10, verses 30 to 37. Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, "Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend." Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise."
As Kelly was talking about with the children's story, our reading sermon this morning is about the parable of the Good Samaritan. So I wanted to do a little research and just find out what exactly this story, the parable of the Good Samaritan. So this was told by Jesus in Luke 10, 25 to 37. It's about a traveler who was stripped of clothing, beaten and left half dead alongside the road. First a priest, then a Levite comes by, but both avoid the man. Finally, a Samaritan happens upon the traveler. Samaritans and Jews generally despised each other, but the Samaritan helps the injured man. Jesus is described as telling the parable in response to the question from a lawyer. And who is my neighbor? Who, in Leviticus 19, verse 18, says should be loved. In response, Jesus tells the parable, the conclusion of which is that the neighbor figure is the parable, is the man who shows mercy to the injured man. That is the Samaritan. Some Christians, such as Augustine, have interpreted the parable allegorically, with the Samaritan representing Jesus Christ, who saves sinful souls. Others, however, discount this allegory as unrelated to the parable's original meaning and see the parable as exemplifying the ethics of Jesus. The parable has inspired paintings, sculpture, satire, poetry, and film. The colloquial phrase, Good Samaritan, meaning someone who helps a stranger, derives from this parable, and many hospitals and charitable organizations are named after the Good Samaritan. The story of the parable of the Good Samaritan. How many of us can remember as kids having one other kid in the neighborhood that no matter how hard you tried, you couldn't make or be friends with? How many of us can remember calling one another terrible, awful names? Kids can be cruel, eh? Thank goodness we grow out of that sort of petty stuff, eh? I mean, as adults, we would never do something like that. We would never disparage someone because of their family name. We'd never say something like, those Smiths, their grandfather was a horse thief, and it was bred right into the rest of them. I wouldn't trust a white as far as I could throw one. Or maybe say, those Browns, you know what they're like, different from the rest of us. Right, we'd never stoop so low as to hold the sins of the father against the son. It's funny when we say those sorts of things out loud. They sound so foolish, don't they? And yet there are those who live by them all the time. Those attitudes become justifiable racism, or justifiable homophobia, or justifiable sexism, or whatever label we want to put on it. But what about the lesson about who our neighbor is supposed to be and act like that Jesus taught in the context of the man who fell among the thieves, or the parable of the neighbor? The term Good Samaritan has become trite and commonplace, and in becoming part of everyday speech, it has lost its power. The parable Jesus told would have shocked his audience. Some would have been totally disgusted and may have even stopped following Jesus over the possibility of having to think about Samaritans as his or her neighbor. They might have thought that as devout Jews, they would have rather died on the road rather than let a Samaritan help them. The crowd listening to Jesus would have completely understood and agreed with the idea that the priest and the Levite would have needed to stay pure and could, indeed should, not help the poor injured man, just in case he were not merely injured, but heaven forbid, dead. To touch the dead made a person unclean, and that would never do for a good Jew to become unclean, and especially unnecessarily, no. This would have been an incredibly shocking, earth-turning story to think that a hated Samaritan, the ones who could not possibly be on the side of God because they were sinful in the ways in which they did not follow God's laws in the scripture. How could one of them possibly do anything good in the world? How could one of them truly understood what it meant to be a neighbor to God? This would have been completely unfathomable for some of the people listening to Jesus. The universality of neighbor is really part and parcel of the open nature of the realm of God, which is open to and for everyone. That is the meaning of grace. It is not earned by any matter, by any prayer or any action. It is poured freely on every single person in the human race. If it were not, then it would not be grace. As followers of Jesus, we enhance grace when we fulfill Jesus' call to live lives that are ones of loving God, loving neighbor, and loving self. We are suited for this life of grace when we can live beyond the ways of pettiness, jealousy, hatred, and fear, and simply love the divine in others that we encounter in this life's brief journey. May the Spirit enable us to do that well. And I think probably our mission statement here at Cole Harbor Woodside, offering the care and comfort of Christ, pretty well sums up the parable of the Good Samaritan. Amen. Charles. I have a couple announcements that I want to pass on to the congregation. I'm not sure if everybody knows about the passing of Ann Braden's mother, Marjorie, or Marg Nicholson, who passed away Monday, January 29th, and her funeral service was held yesterday, February 3rd. And I ask that you please hold the family in prayer. Also, the funeral service on Friday for our beloved emeritus, Reverend Stu Clark, was held here on February 2nd. And these beautiful flowers are left from his funeral by his family. And we ask that you hold his family in prayers also. I just notice if anybody's on Facebook, a special prayer for Joe Maloney, who had a fall on Thursday evening, and he had to have knee surgery, so he's going to be laid up for a while. So he'll be looking for help for Hope Cottage, I'm sure. Now, if anybody else has any announcements that they want to share with the congregation, I knew Maurice would be here.
One of the great things about being a good neighbor is that you can be a good neighbor on Facebook across the country. And good friends of ours, Helen and Harvey Waddell, are celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. And I got a message from a lady that I don't even know saying she's trying to put a book together with some messages. So I've put an envelope on the back bulletin board in the narthex. And if anybody wants to put a message in there, I will gladly send it to this lady. I have her address, and I'll pass on all the good wishes. Thanks.
You know what I want, don't you? Maple syrup. So please try to take sheets and get your orders filled, because I haven't seen too much action. And we made a profit last year of $2,700. We have to beat that this year. So it's time we got on the go, because before the end of March, I need to know all this stuff, because that's when the maple syrup is going to be starting to run. So please get together, see your neighbors, see the people at your work, and get some orders. Thank you.
Hi, haven't been here in a few weeks. I'm Heather. I'm the one going to be starting the junior choir. I have plans. I have ideas. I'm hoping to maybe start next week, but I need singers. So if any of you have children grade 2 and up, ages 7 to 12, come and see me just for 5 or 10 minutes after church. I just want to know who's interested and if I have enough numbers to actually make a choir. Thank you.
Anne?
And I wanted to put out a save the date for everybody. The February Families Connect night, which will be February 17th, it's a Saturday night, we're actually going to open it up to the whole congregation. I'd love to have a family dance. So it'll be, you know, kid-appropriate music, but still lots of fun stuff, and I'd love to see lots of people come out and just have a good time and party and celebrate Valentine's Day and get to know each other, and I'll jump onto the neighbor theme as well and be good neighbors and good friends. And so I hope to see you all out there. So February 17th, 6:30 to 8:30.
Okay. Do we have a minutes for missions?
As we mark Black History Month or African Heritage Month in Canada, let us celebrate the many contributions of Black people to Canadian society and to the United Church. Let us take time to remember African Canadian history, the struggles, and the haunting legacy of the transatlantic slave trade. Black people have been part of the United Church from its beginning and continue to play a vital role in the church today. We celebrate this history by sharing the story of Union United Church in Montreal, Quebec. This church was created in 1907 and was known as Union Congregational Church. From the start, Union led the way in reaching out to Black railway porters and their families who were segregated from the rest of Montreal, offering them a place of worship and a place to call their own.
We sing thanksgiving for the foundation of Black people who have led the way toward the United Church of Canada becoming an intercultural church, a church where all are welcome. If mission and service is already a regular part of your giving, thank you so much. If you have not given for mission and service, please join me in making mission and service a regular part of your life of faith. In all our mission and service giving, with a willing heart, we sing thanksgiving to God.
The offering will now be received. Loving God, we are your hands and feet on this earth. We turn to you now with humble gifts and prayers, knowing that this offering is not enough to heal the wounds upon the earth, but knowing that they are the symbols of what we are able to do collectively as a people of God. May we allow ourselves to be transformed by these gifts and may we turn yet another corner in creating the world you intended for us all. Amen.
Let us pray. God of the nations, you bless us in creation with endless diversity. May we participate in this ongoing creation by enabling life in ongoing variety and expression. Help us to see what is acceptable. Spirit of love, receive our prayer. God of the political, you give us free will to govern and manage our community living. May we choose our leaders wisely by changing patterns and voices in leadership so that all needs are being addressed. Spirit of love, receive our prayer. God of anger, you rage at the choices we make on earth, even as we claim to do your will. May we learn to see ourselves with clarity and learn to feel the rage you feel when we treat people, the earth, and its creatures with contempt and disrespect. Spirit of love, hear our prayer. God of the intimate, you speak to us in whispers and shouts, and it is up to us to pay attention. May we turn our attention to you, especially when it is painful, because we know love means having to make sacrifices. Spirit of love, hear our prayer. Our prayers we offer today in Jesus' words as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Our closing hymn is number 578 in Voices United, As a Fire is Meant for Burning, and the words are up on the screen. We have sought our God in this worship. We have searched for Jesus in our hearts. We have looked for the Holy Spirit in our midst. We have found the blessing of God, the encouragement of Jesus Christ, and the empowerment of the Spirit. May we go into the world as voices of peace.